From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, the climbing community hit yet again, six presumed dead on Washington State's Mount Rainier.
But first to the big announcement in Washington, D.C. today that could change the way all of us get our electricity. The EPA announced sweeping new regulations that will limit carbon emissions from existing power plants. The rules would force coal plants to cut carbon dioxide emissions 30% by 2030 from 2005 levels. Carbon pollution is the main cause of climate change, and this move is a cornerstone of President Obama's climate change agenda. EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy said this plan is critical to fighting climate change.
This is not just about disappearing polar bears and melting ice caps, although I like polar bears and I know about melting ice caps. This is about protecting our health, and it is about protecting our homes. This is about protecting local economies, and it's about protecting jobs.
The proposed EPA rules are already coming under fire from Republicans and Democrats in coal-producing states and from the coal industry. We're going to hear two perspectives now. Bill Bissett is president of the Kentucky Coal Association. He's with us on the line. Bill, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy.
And Peter Lehner is executive director of the Natural Resources Defense Council. He's with us from NPR in New York. Peter, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And let me start with you, Peter. What do you think of these new rules, what the impact might be?
Well, this is a historic day, Jeremy. The U.S. is finally moving to close the biggest pollution loophole there is. Limiting this pollution will protect our families' health, as Gina McCarthy said, our community's health, and it will improve American prosperity. It's going to save us money, and it's going to create jobs. So this is a very good day to limit this type of pollution that until now has been unlimited in any way.
Bill Bissett, what about you? What do you think of them?
It's amazing that we're hearing the NRDC talk about job development, number one, because this move today is going to do the exact opposite. It's not only going to hurt us in the coal fields with employment there, it's really going to devastate our manufacturing base, which is so dependent not only on affordable electricity, but reliable electricity. And what Gina McCarthy and the EPA and the president are doing right now is putting both things at risk. We're going to be paying more for electricity, both as employers and individuals, but also they're tampering with how we provide electricity. And that affects reliability, and that affects all of us.
Peter, what do you say to that? Because Bill Bissett is not the only person saying this is going to affect jobs in coal-producing states.
Sure. And I'm very sympathetic, of course, to coal producers. Our 20th century economy was built on coal. But we also have to move into the 21st century, and that is why I, as well as the leaders of a number of the country's largest unions, met at the White House to work on assistance to transition communities that are dependent on coal jobs into the clean energy jobs and the energy efficiency jobs of the future. And when we take advantage of that transition to clean energy, to renewable energy, to energy efficiency, those are the jobs that will last for decades. Those are the jobs that can't be outsourced. Those are the jobs that at the same time that they create prosperity, that create clean air, clean water, and healthy communities. So EPA's analysis made clear, as well as other analyses, that in fact, if states respond smartly to this, and the states are given flexibility to respond, this is a plan that can create jobs and save Americans money. Now, of course, you're going to hear those who are getting the benefit of this free loophole right now, they're going to complain. Nobody wants to lose a loophole or lose a subsidy for them. So we can expect to hear them complaining and saying this is going to be bad. But for America and for Americans, this is a very good move forward.
There are some questions about what this is going to mean for electricity prices. The EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy reacted to that today, saying that energy bills are not going to skyrocket because of the rules. Let's listen.
Any small short-term change in electricity prices would be within normal fluctuations the power sector has already dealt with for years. And any small price increase that we see as a result of this rule is about the price of a gallon of milk a month. And it's dwarfed by the huge benefits.
Bill Bissett, what are you expecting this is going to do to prices of electricity? And we should say coal right now is where about 39% of U.S. electricity comes from.
That's correct. But I think what they're leaving out there is the fact that this is going to really devastate, especially states like Kentucky and West Virginia that are coal mining and coal using states. And the electricity we provide to mostly to the southeastern United States is the manufacturing base. It's where we make things, and it needs to be affordable and reliable, which you didn't hear much from Gina McCarthy today. That's the other concern. We have to have this electricity when it's needed, not just for our personal lives, but for our employers. And, you know, I understand that they're trying to sell to the American public that this is going to be good for the economy. But again, talk to the U.S. Chamber, talk to the National Association of Manufacturers. They'll tell you something very different. And the other important thing is the rest of the world is moving in the exact opposite direction towards coal power. If you look at Spain, Germany, Japan, Russia, India, China, they're building coal-fired power plants. So this reduction in carbon the president suggested will soon be replaced by all the coal-fired power plants that are being built globally. And that's not being considered at all.
Well, Peter Lehner, what about that? That you know, we can take steps here in this country, but they may not be repeated in other countries like China.
Well, the reality is, of course, they are being repeated in other countries. Other countries are taking steps, but they are also looking to the U.S. for leadership. And until this step, the U.S. has not been taking the leadership that it has really needed to in order to get countries that aren't as rich as the United States, like China and India, to move forward. You know, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is a little bit of history here. We were told, for example, when the government required seatbelts for our safety, that that would be the end of driving. When we took lead out of gasoline, that that was going to make the price of gasoline skyrocket. When we tried to take smog-producing pollution from power plants, that that was going to triple the cost of electricity. Every one of these horror stories has not come to pass. It turns out that we can have seatbelts and unleaded gasoline and get rid of smog and soot. And guess what? It's the price does not really go up because American ingenuity kicks in and we figure out how to address these pollution requirements, how to reduce pollution and protect our health in a way that is very cost effective. So we have a long history of horror stories, of doom and gloom prophecies, and none of them have come true. And
well, Bill,
there's no reason to expect it will this time.
Bill Bissett, let me ask you about that. The environmental impact here, the American Lung Association says these limits would reduce 4,000 premature death, prevent 4,000 premature deaths and 100,000 asthma attacks just in the first year they'd be in place. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what we want?
Everyone wants clean air, and we're burning coal more cleanly now than we ever have in our history. And what's frustrating with a lot of that information is it's very much targeted to impact carbon fuels, especially coal. And the American Lung Association tends to have more and more of a political bent, more with the NRDC than it does reality at this point. That being said, I think you've also got to look at the good that electricity provides for us. The impact of coal as far as a fuel source being affordable and reliable, that is so often left out of this discussion. We've got to start talking about reliability because, again, that's a concern.
Right.
Peter may suggest that, you know, it's going to be great. We have nothing to worry about. But when organized labor, so many different trade associations are very concerned about this, and the utilities are muted on this because they're so politically constrained,
right,
and also controlled that they can't really say publicly, we're really concerned about this, but I'm certain that they are.
Bill Bissett of the Kentucky Coal Association. We've been speaking with Peter Lehner of the Natural Resources Defense Council. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.